This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Well, that exuberant piece from one of the townships in South Africa, I had the good fortune of coming upon this rally when I was there and just recorded it. And I thought it was a great way to usher in our next guest. Tekufu Zuberi is professor of race relations, sociology, and Africana studies at the University of Pennsylvania. He is a host of one of my favorite series, the PBS series History Detectives, and his epic story of modern Africa and its impact on the world emerge as an award-winning documentary and companion book about the complex continent and its dramatic fight for freedom. And we fondly welcome Professor Zuberi.
Thank you very, very much. It is my pleasure to join you.
Well, it is my pleasure to have gone through African Independence, How Africa Shapes the World, the book that accompanies the film. And instantaneously, I was joyed, if nothing else, and there is much else, by the name itself, because the importance of Africa in the world is you're an iconoclast, as I told you. You're kind of breaking with the Eurocentric flow that the center of the universe is Eurocentricity, and that everything flows from that. And you have invested Africa, the African continent, and the independence struggles with critical importance in how they shape the world. And I'm delighted. I think it's fantastic material and would like to know what prompted you to produce the film and the book towards that end of showing the centrality of African independence and how it has influenced the rest of the world.
Thank you for this opportunity. You know, for me, excuse me, it is very important for us to understand what it means to be a human being, because it in itself determines how we treat each other, how we treat people who are different than we are, and what we expect from other people. That is, how do we expect them to treat us? And I do believe that there are historical moments in which the courage of the spirit of a people, the activities of a people, transform our ideas about what it means to be a human being. Africa was a great continent before European colonialism. Africa was a great continent before European enslavement and Arab enslavement. And when I say Africa was a great continent, what I mean is that there were a number of African societies that existed before European colonialism, before European enslavement. The processes of enslavement and colonialism were a long process of undefining the humanity of Africans. And by doing so, undefining the humanity of Europeans, of white people, because white supremacy, more than anything, is a statement against humanity. The African independence movement unseated classical European colonialism on the African continent. It ended it. African nations flew flags in order to displace the colonial flags of Britain, of France, Portugal, of every colonial country on the African continent. They were displaced, and Africans placed flags of independence, and they began to run the political apparatuses of the state. In doing this very simple act of Africans having nations all over the continent, no longer was it just Ethiopia with its shining a flag of independence and its whole legacy and history of independence. No longer was it simply Liberia with its long mixed history with its relationship with the United States and the way that the state was created on the west coast of Africa. Now you had independent states all over the continent. By doing that, they redefined what it means to be a human being. So that even when Martin Luther King Jr. visited the inauguration of Kwame Nkrumah in 1957 in Ghana, on his return to the United States, he had to say, we need to reconsider this idea about the birth of nations and what it means, and we need to reconsider the objectives we have in our movement. This is on the heels of the success of the Montgomery boycott, when he would say, we need to reconsider what we will do now. Is it enough to be on the bus? Is it enough to ride on the bus? We need to consider our things. And this came from looking at the African independence movement, because Africans had taken over the reins of state. Africans were demanding a different place for everyone. And by doing that, they influenced people's identity, who they were in every corner of the world. Because in every corner of the world, everyone had been taught that Africans were less than human. And this very act of declaring independence, fighting for it, creating states, and starting off all of these states in a very successful space was contrary to every lie that had been told about African people. And we need to know what we need to celebrate about Africa. It is not just disease and poverty. And everything we have done was not just during the period when there was Egypt. It was not just done in the ancient past. Sometimes Africans rescue ourselves, and by that very act, establish a new course for humanity.
You know, Professor, one of the things that I was thinking as you were speaking now was, in my personal experience, you mentioned Martin Luther King, the liberation struggles, the struggles for independence, the many groups in Angola and so many other parts of the continent, the essence of their struggle for self-determination informed the Black Liberation Movement here, the efforts for self-determination, and people such as myself took heart and inspiration for efforts to reform a society, as there was a break with colonialism, in a far more progressive, holistic, democratic fashion than we saw here. So to me, the contributions for building the civil rights movement, for building the Black Power movement, were really insurmountable.
But, you know, the thing is that if we take a look at the latter part of the 20th century, we find a space in which we can see that Africa and the response to Africa is leading so much. I mean, World War II is one of those defining moments in the 20th century. The defeat of Nazism crushed an old aspiration of racial superiority reigning on planet Earth. World War II could not have been won but for the efforts of African soldiers. like the African Americans who fought on the side of the U.S. in World War II for the purpose of extending democracy. That is why African Americans were fighting. They weren't fighting to preserve segregation and extend racial lynching and the racial murder, which people saw every day in the streets. They were fighting to extend democracy and expected to return to continue receiving the benefits from what their labor had demonstrated, which is that African people from the United States were participating in a process that would revitalize their citizenship in the U.S. So too did Africans come from the various colonies on the African continent and fight in the military of the French, fight in the military of the British for the liberation of democracy, for the stopping of Nazi fascism, of Italian fascism, of Japanese fascism. So yes, African soldiers fought on the African continent against the fascist axis of Germany, Italy, and Japan. African soldiers fought in Asia against the original axis of evil. So Africans fought in this war in order to preserve democracy. After they fought, they returned home to the same old negative racist colonialism. And by returning home to this colonialism, they witnessed firsthand that the contradiction of fighting for democracy and liberating Europe and then returning home to colonialism were untenable. They could not suffer the foolishness of European colonialism any longer. And so we saw those soldiers return and protesting in the streets against the racism of Britain, protesting because in some cases the British or the French didn't even want to pay the veterans a proper kind of wage or to give them a severance pay for the end of their time in the military or to give them all of the stuff that soldiers are used to once they go and save the nation. So here they had saved the empire and they returned home not to be treated as full human beings and begin the process of fighting for African independence. The soldiers coming back. Meanwhile, Africans all over the world also begin fighting for African independence, fighting in Britain, fighting in France, as well as fighting on the African continent in every single space that was colonized, whether the colonizer was Portuguese, the French, or the British. The people begin to fight, and they fought, and they fought, and they organized. They built organizations which led political movements, which began the process first of negotiating independence and then of militaristically fighting in armed struggle for those last vestiges of colonialism that were too stubborn to leave as a consequence of negotiation and only left as a consequence of armed resistance, leading all the way up to the last armed movement to fight for independence against a European colonial power, and that was in South Africa in 1994, where Africans finally gained access to the political apparatus of the society, and they were successful in bringing independence to South Africa. And as a consequence of their bringing independence in 1994 to reignite the fight for democracy throughout the African continent. And that struggle continues today.
Well, let's take it to today. And again, we're speaking with Professor Tekufu Zuberi. Let's take it through today. Where would you say that the struggle for African independence takes us in looking at Africa shaping world events now?
It's really important to understand that there is a certain mindset that you have to have when you give all credit for life to someone else. if you say that someone else is because you are alive, because and they're the cause for you breathing, they're the cause for your life, you have to understand that that is a certain type of marginalizing your own agency. That is a certain way of empowering the person that you are giving that credit to. It's kind of like when people say, oh, capitalism, yes, yes, capitalism, that's the white man system. They built that starting in the 19th century. They didn't pick cotton. They didn't tote no bales. They did not pick sugar. They did not give free labor that would establish the economic basis for what capitalism would be. That's why when W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a very important book called Black Reconstruction, which was, you know, a book about the effort of black people in the United States to reconstruct democracy to be real in the United States during the Civil War, which is the same thing that the Africans in South Africa did. That is, they fought a war to reconstruct democracy in order to find more full participation for the Africans and therefore change the space. Well, that effort to transform democracy is what created democracy. You don't even have a notion of what freedom is in the United States, but from those efforts of those Africans. The real story of freedom in the U.S. is written on the bodies of African and indigenous people, of indentured servants in the United States. And as those people overcome the tyranny of what democracy was by those people who wrote the lies that became the basis for the U.S. Constitution. So that here you have an effort to redefine what it means to be a human being in order to transform what it means to be a citizen in the society. And that's what Africans did in the African independence movement, and that's what Africans did in the fight against enslavement, in the fight for civil rights, in the fight for black power. And that is the efforts that people are engaged in Brazil, in Colombia, in Ecuador, as they also fight for black power in those white supremacist states as well. So now when we look at what are the implications of the African independence movement today, besides that inspiration of fighting to redefine what it means to be a human and having a profound impact on the civil rights movement, a profound impact on the black power movement in the United States, a profound impact on the black power movement in Brazil today, on a profound impact on the black power movement in Colombia today, profound impacts on all of the Caribbean states, all of the struggles in Europe that black people were engaged in. What impact does it have on us today? The African independence movement redefined the political map of Africa so that the post-independent map of Africa looks dramatically different from the colonial map when colonialism was finally consolidated around the African continent, which really occurred around 1914. So, you know, colonialism as a political system consolidated itself between 1880 and 1914 on the African continent. And then it didn't take Africans very long to begin the process of struggling against that. In fact, as soon as it popped up, wherever it popped up, you find Africans in opposition to it. After the successful political independence on the African continent, every African nation was confronted with a series of problems. And you could probably look at them and think of them in three generalizable points, which really touch on a whole host of issues. But the issue of independence in Africa has always been connected to unity on the African continent, unity of African people, unity of African groups, unity of African nations. But what Africans inherited from colonialism was a tradition of ethnic and religious conflict, which was manipulated by the colonial powers in order to keep Africans colonized, to keep Africans with an enslaved mentality. because these groups were pitted against each other in a very powerful way. And the powerful way that they were pitted against each other is that the power of the colonial masters was not really by having a large military force to enforce its reign in the country. It was by convincing a lot of Africans to fight on the side of the European colonialists, to join the European colonial militaries, to join the European colonial police forces. So Africans began to police the society and to enforce these ideas of ethnic and religious difference in a way that made them conflicting. That is, I don't want to suggest at all that the Wolof did not exist before colonialism, because they did. They did. The Zulus existed before Europeans arrived in the 15th century. African ethnic groups existed. The Igbo existed before the Europeans arrived. The Yoruba existed before the Europeans arrived. The Ashanti existed before the Europeans arrived. However, they were all changed and transformed by the system of colonialism. This change and transformation was to pit them against each other in ways that would not allow them to see their common destiny. Now, this, on top of a kind of problem, which is establishing the legitimacy of the state. And so the conflict and the lack of unity and the ethnic and religious tensions that you see on the African continent are, in fact, a result of African agency, but they have an origin in a manipulation by European colonial powers to leave a legacy of conflict and instability on the African continent. You will only be able to fight yourself if you cannot see your commonness with your neighbor. If you feel that you need to fight them because they do not believe in your religion, or that their ethnic group has too much political power and is being abused, that will lead to ethnic conflict. There are exceptions, and these exceptions are important. I mean, you know, the exception of Tanzania is important. The exception of Ghana, for the most part, is important, because here are groups in which ethnicity has not served as the principal reason for people's political victories or their political contestation in the country. There has been some very keen awareness of not falling into the trap of being locked into ethnic conflict in determining political power, overcoming the political definition of who it means to be an African in a particular space, in a particular nation, to overcome the colonial Eurocentric definition of themselves. And this was the effort of the African independence movement. And then finally, the world continues to practice hypocrisy in Africa. The war on terror in Africa is a bunch of hypocrisy. Who had more terror than the colonial powers? And most terror in the world does not come from non-state actors. Think about it. Most terror is a result of states engaging in mass murder that they call war. More people, more innocent people, more non-combatants on planet Earth are dying in wars being fought by legitimate states. And the death is being caused more by these wars and more by these legitimate states than any terrorist organization on planet Earth. I'm not trying to legitimate terror. I don't think terror is good. We need to abandon it. However, I think it's hypocrisy to say that you're going to engage on a war in terror and it destabilizes Mali. It destabilizes Libya. It destabilizes countries all over the African continent in the name of a fight against the war against terror. And then the use of aid, the way that aid is given to Africa, again, is hypocrisy. How are the nations which are benefiting totally from the raw resources of Africa going to claim that they're coming to give Africa aid?
Well, Professor,
they should call it a rebate. Okay.
I'm really totally interested and will continue to plow through this fabulous book, which is thoroughly accessible, African Independence, How Africa Shapes the World. Through the film, an award-winning director, the documentary, and most significantly now, we're going to have to continue this discussion at another time. The film, The Access, which looks at Benin and Cape Verde and Ghana and Kenya and Tanzania and Zambia, etc., is just a must reading. How can people access the film, and where do we get a copy of the book? And we have about a minute left, not nearly enough time to do justice to the issue, which is why people are just going to have to make sure that they get this critically important study of Africa in the modern world. And where do we do that?
So the book should be available widely. And if you want to get it, if you have the internet, you can type in tukufuzuberi.com. TukufuZuberi.com. And you can get both the book and the film in both of those places. TukufuZuberi.com. TukufuZuberi.com.
And Professor Tukufu Zuberi, who's been talking about African independence, how Africa shapes the world, a book, the film, tremendous information, and thank you for breaking through for many of us the centrality, the supremacy, it thinks, of Eurocentrism as a way of analyzing the world and placing Africa in the important perspective that it must be placed for us to grow intellectually and become a much more egalitarian group of people in society. I really appreciate your spending some time with us and wish you really good luck on the continuing access that people have through African Independence, How Africa Shapes the World, the book and the film. Professor Tukufu Zuberi, thanks for sharing time with us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.